I opened my eyes and saw that we had reached the Barnett place, a pasture up on the flats that Loper had leased for the summer. The pickup lurched to a stop. I rose from the spare tire and went straight into a yawning and stretching procedure. There, that felt better. The toxic vapors Drover had unleashed inside my brain had drifted away, leaving me whole and sound again. I was ready to go to work. Slim unloaded Snips, his horse, for the day, and tightened the cinch. He swung up into the saddle and we set out on our mission, counting and checking 200 yearling steers that were summering on grass. Hey, this was my kind of work. We headed east in a long trot, Slim and I did, and I noticed the Drover stayed at the pickup. Why? Because he's a little weenie. Because he doesn't know beans about the cattle business and doesn't care to learn. Because the day was hot and he wanted to lie around in the shade. Oh, and because his leg was giving him fits, or so he claimed. But that was okay with me. I'd had all of Drover I could stand for one day. You know why Drover is always bored? Because he's locked inside a body with himself. Slim trotted his horse for a few hundred yards until we came to a little bunch of steers, and then he slowed Snips to a walk. He got a good count and wrote the number down in the palm of his left hand. We moved on to the next bunch, and he went through the same procedure. By that time, he had tallied 187 steers, and all we had to do was find the remaining 10. 12. 13. We mushed on to the east. There, under a little rise, we found a bunch lying in some tall grass and sunflowers. I knew my part in this deal, and I did it. I trotted into the middle of the steers and started growling orders. Okay, you lazy bums, stand up and face inspection. Anybody sick? Bloated? Got pink eye? Move around, let's get a good look at you. Pretty impressive, huh? You bet it was. I doubt that Slim could have done the job without me there to help him. I growled him up and stirred him around, and Slim got his count. The only problem was that he came up one short. We rode through the whole pasture again, and he made another count, and he still was one short. He leaned back in the saddle, tipped his hat to the back of his head, and chewed on his lip. I guess we'd better ride out this draw. Hank, walk through them tall weeds and check them out. If you find that missing steer, there's liable to be a bonus for you. Bonus? All right, heck of a deal. Let's see, what would it be? A big, fresh sirloin steak? Yes, that would be nice. Slim knew my position on sirloin steaks. I love them. Or maybe, Hank, quit daydreaming and get to work. In this heat, I'm losing my ambition. Okay, fine, only I wasn't daydreaming. I was merely planning out my strategy for finding the steer. Hey, we dogs don't just blunder into our work. We need a little time to plan and think through our business. Sirloin steak would be fine. I put my nose to the ground and plunged into the heavy growth of sunflowers, weeds, and other varieties of vegetation that grew in the bottom of the draw. In this kind of situation, we usually switch our targeting mechanisms over to smell-o-radar for the simple reason that those weeds were covered up with dust and pollen and that stuff can sure mess up our smell-o-radar. See, towards the middle of summer, certain varieties of weeds give off large amounts of pollen. You have your ragweeds, your pigweeds, your sunflowers, your bindweed, and all the other stupid stinking weeds whose names I don't know and don't care to know. And as I say, When a dog dives into the middle of them and goes into deep sniff on the smell of radar, they can sure mess up his... Through watering eyes, I noticed that Slim was grinning down at me.
Hey, are them weeds a little dusty?
Of course they were dusty. I wasn't sneezing just for the fun of it. They were also loaded with pollen.
Well, hurry up. The ranch ain't paying you to sneeze, and I'm getting hot.
Now, brother, you see how much sympathy we get? None. Zero. You volunteer for a hazardous job, and then... Never mind. I plunged back into the jungle of poisonous weeds and resumed my search procedure. Only this time, I canceled the deep sniff. See, by this time, I had figured out that if a guy breathes through his mouth instead of his nose, he won't be attacked by the sneezing viruses or by the clouds of obnoxious dust particles. Sneezing, don't you know, is triggered by the nasolary region. So if a guy starts breathing through his mouth, he can die of lung rot instead of nose rot. And I'd add about all the stinking weeds I could stand for one day. If Slim wanted someone to check out those weeds, by George, he could climb off his horse and do it himself. I pointed myself towards daylight and staggered through the... There he was. The steer, the missing steer. He was lying in the weeds directly in front of me. And you won't believe this part. You thought he was sick? Had pneumonia? Pink eyes? Scours? No, sir. What he had was a bucket over his head. Because of the bucket, he was not only blind, but he couldn't see. And he had wandered away from the other cattle. And I'd found him. Pretty impressive, huh? You bet it was. Slim pulled the bucket off, released the little dummy, and we were done. We were a pretty good team, Slim and I, and I'd decided to forget about the water incident of the previous night. I could hardly wait for my bonus. Did he have a steak tucked away in his pocket? Maybe not, but... Okay, a nice strip of beef jerky. Jerky is made of steak, right? Jerky would be fine. He saw me waiting for my reward. He reached into his jeans pocket. Yes, yes, this was going well. It would be a nice hunk of... My whole body quivered with anticipation. Anticipation, shall we say. And my tail began to whack itself on the... He gave his head a shake.
I'm out of beef jerky, Pooch. How about a nice fat grasshopper?
I stared at him in disbelief. A nice fat grasshopper? What kind of crooked deal was this? Dogs don't eat. He climbed into the saddle and headed back to the pickup. That was it. No steak, no jerky, not even a thank you, buddy. Sometimes I think this job is... Oh, well. Upon reaching the pickup, we made a shocking discovery. The pickup had a flat tire. Slim moaned and groaned about having to change a flat tire in the heat. But there was nobody else to do it. So he grabbed the high lift jack and a spinner tool and went to work. I sat in the shade and enjoyed every moment of his suffering. It served him right for cheating me out of my reward. At last, he got the spare tire put on and loaded the jack and the flat tire on the pickup bed. He wiped the sweat out of his eyes and took a gulp of air.
Now, we have to go into town to get this flat fixed, or we won't have a spare. I'll expect you boys to be on your best behavior. You hear? Don't run off. Don't goof off. Don't do anything foolish. Just stay in the back of the pickup and be nice.
That's all the bonus I got. A ride into town. Fine, I could wait. Being nice in town was second nature to me, but I would try to keep a close eye on Drover. Drover was the problem, see? You never knew what the little goof might do next.
I would hawk him like a watch. Watch him like a hawk, shall we say. We set out for town. After driving over 3 miles of dusty roads, we turned left on the highway and picked up speed. As you might expect, I occupied my place of honor on the spare tire, which was now a flat spare tire, and enjoyed letting the wind blow my ears around. I reached a very peaceful state of, well, peacefulness and contentment, and had just about forgotten about the phony bonus when I heard Drover's voice.
Hank, look who's behind us.
I opened my eyes and saw, well, a pickup, an old blue pickup.
Yes, and so what? Don't you recognize it?
No, I... Wait a minute. Hadn't I seen that pickup before? There was something familiar about it. I sat up, narrowed my eyes, and studied it.
Grover, do you see who's behind us?
That's Joe McCall.
Yeah, I know.
Don't you see what this means? If that's the same pickup, then it's probably got a big, ugly Rottweiler in the back.
Yeah, I know. Bruiser.
Let's see, what did they call that mutt?
Bruiser.
Oh, yes, Bruiser. And notice, Drover, that he's looking at us from behind the cab.
Oh, my gosh, don't make him mad.
Relax, son. He's in a moving pickup. He can't touch us. Watch this. I left the spare tire and swaggered towards the back of the pickup. I stuck out my tongue and crossed my eyes.
Hank, I think he's getting mad. He's making fangs and I think he's barking.
Good. Great. That's just what he deserves, the big creep. Now, watch this. I turned around and showed him my backside. I even moved my hiney back and forth.
What does he think about that? Oh, my gosh, he's really mad now. Are you sure he can't jump into our pickup?
It's impossible, Drover. We've got him just where we want him. Joe McCall pulled out into the other lane, stomped on the gas, and passed us. He honked and waved at Slim, and as they went around us, I found myself looking directly into the... Oh, boy. Into the hideous, angry, ugly face of Bruiser himself. I gave him a little grin and a wave.
Ha! How y'all doing? You sure are ugly. I've seen toads with prettier faces than yours. If I was as ugly as you, I'd wear a sack over my head.
They zoomed past us. Chuckling to myself, I made my way back to the spare tire. Drover was lying flat with his paws pulled up over his eyes. He was moaning and quivering. And you know what else? He started singing this song. After a moment, I couldn't help but join him. Here, listen.
Hank, you're giving me a bad taste of the shivers. And this leg is really causing me some pain. 'Cause that dog is mean enough to eat our livers. All that stopping him is just a piece of chain. If he ever took a notion, he might break the chain in half. And I think that I would perish from the fright. Would you please show some restraint before I would faint? Just sit down before you get us in a fight.
Drover, what is the nature of your problem? So I taunted him and had a little fun. Heck, he's just a dog and not some awful goblin. If he jumps us, I'll just whip him. You can run. See, when you're hanging with the head of ranch security, you don't need to have a plan or hedge your bets. Sure, I guess he's kind of large, but Grover, I'm in charge. So relax, enjoy the ride, and cool your jets.
Thank you. Yeah, but Hank, I really wish you wouldn't do this. Making enemies is not a funny joke. See, I really would prefer that I live through this. And if he jumped into our pickup, I'd just broke. What goes around will come around. I'll bet the day will come when you wish that you'd resisted just a hair. I hear you saying, what the heck? But I'm a nervous wreck. It's not smart to show your hiney to a bear. I hear you saying, what the heck? But I'm a nervous wreck. It's not smart to show your hiney to a bear.
When the song was over, I gave the runt a smile. Relax, Drover. We'll never see that creep again.
Yeah, how can you be so sure?
Because it would be too much of a coincidence. All the odds are against it. Things like that just don't happen in the real world. And sure enough, we didn't see the big oaf again. Until 20 minutes later. When I heard the pickup slowing down, I sat up and looked out. Sure enough, we were approaching the town of Twitchell. This was where Slim and Loper came to buy windmill parts and ranch supplies, and where Sally Mae came to shop for groceries and clothes. It was a huge and exciting place. Hundreds of people lived there, maybe even thousands. Main Street was long and wide, crawling with cars and people, and it had every kind of store and shop you could imagine. Two drug stores, a five and dime store, three hardware stores, and several stores that sold clothes and stuff. Oh, and there was even a livestock auction on the north end of town, near the grain elevator. The grain elevator was the tallest building in town, a big round white structure that you could see from miles away. It was a building for grain, not people. They used it for storing wheat, don't you see, after it was harvested in the summer. We dogs didn't get to come to town very often, and for us it was a pretty big deal. It gave us a chance to see new sights, to bark at new dogs, and, well, there was always the chance that, while motoring down Main, we might even catch a glimpse of a lady dog or two. Pretty exciting, huh? You bet it was. And as we made our way down Main Street, I found myself sitting a little higher in the spare tire, holding my head at a prouder angle, and, you know, putting on my best appearance, just in case we saw one. Lady dog, that is. The lady dogs are very impressed by any dog who rides in the back of a pickup. Maybe you didn't know that, but they are. And the kind of pickup that impresses them the most is the very kind we were riding in. A big four-wheel drive ranch rig with mud flaps on the back that's pulling a stock trailer. I don't know what it is about mud flaps, but the women just go nuts over a dog who owns a big four-wheel drive pickup with mud flaps. So I was definitely on the alert. And sure enough, when we were stopped for a red light in the middle of town, I glanced to my left and saw Mercy. She was a golden retriever, sitting up in the front seat of a yellow car. A green car. Who cares? It was a car. She was gorgeous. Long flowing ears, deep brown eyes, a shiny coat of hair, and a wonderful long nose. Her window was down halfway, and I noticed that she tossed a glance in my direction. No, it was even better than that. She tossed a glance at me, looked away, and then turned her adoring eyes back on me and stared. I wiggled my left eyebrow at her, and oh, you should have seen her response. She lifted her ears ever so slightly and smiled. Well, that told me all I needed to know. I heaved myself up from the spare tire, tossed a wink at Drover, he'd been watching the whole thing, and swaggered over to the side of the pickup. "Howdy, ma'am," I said in my deepest, most malodorous voice. "I don't think I've ever seen you at this stoplight before." Her response caused my old heart to swell up like something. Red beans soaking in a bowl of water, I suppose. She said, and this is a direct quote, she said,
"Oh?
Wow." I went on. "Yes, ma'am. You see, I own a big ranch south of town. I seldom come to Twitchell, and when I do, I don't get many opportunities to, well, chat with the ladies at a stoplight." And she said, check this out. She said,
"Oh?
Wow." I had her going, fellas. I could see the light in her eyes and hear the quiver of romance in her voice. I didn't slow down or back up. No, sir. I plunged on and went straight into the big ticket. "I noticed you admiring my mud flaps." Her eyes seemed to, well, blank out, I guess you would say.
"You're what?"
She was being coy. I had caught her stealing glances at the mud flaps, see, and she didn't want me to know, I guess. With these women, it's hard to tell what's really going on. They give you a sign and pretend they didn't. They say one thing and mean another. It's kind of confusing, to tell you the truth, but I was pretty sure I had her going in the right direction. I plunged on and showed her a wolfish smile. "My mud flaps. They're pretty nice, huh? They're heavy duty. Only the biggest and..." Oops, the light changed and we were moving forward. It caught me off guard and I had to do a little scrambling around to keep my balance. But fortunately, the lady's car stayed beside our pickup. I continued speaking louder to be heard over the roar of the pickup. "Only the biggest and best of your ranch pickups have these heavy-duty mud flaps. The women seem to like them, and I noticed you..." Slim let off the gas and shifted gears, causing me to stagger. "I saw you admiring them." She shook her head and said, I'll keep these words close to my heart forever and ever. She said,
"Leroy, I don't know what you're talking about, but if you don't sit down, you're going to fall out and get yourself smashed all over Main Street."
The car pulled away, leaving me alone with my pounding heart and the glowing memory of her lovely face. My whole body tingled. She had called me Leroy. No doubt that was some kind of code word which meant lover boy or you handsome rascal. And her concern that I might get smashed all over Main Street proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that she really cared. I never saw her again, and she never saw me again, but we'd enjoyed our precious moment together. I would keep the memory of it forever in the little cigar box of my heart. I heaved a sigh and waved a farewell just as Slim turned the corner and almost threw me out. Did he have to turn corners at 30 miles an hour? With my claws scraping across the bed of the pickup, I fought my way back to the spare tire and collapsed. Grover was staring at me. "What was that all about?" "She loves me, Grover. I could see it in her eyes." "I'll be darned. I thought you were talking about truck." "We were talking about love, Grover. But with these women, you don't go straight to the point."
"How come?"
Because you don't, that's all. You don't just run up and kiss them. You surround them, so to speak, with intelligent, witty conversation. And before they know it, they're madly in love.
I'll be darned. I wish I had a way with the women. I never know what to say.
Just watch me and study your lessons, son. The next time you encounter a lady dog on the street, start talking about mud flaps. It works every time. He gave a shrug and returned to the black hole of his thoughts. If he had any thoughts, I wasn't sure he did, but at least I had tried to help him out with his problems in the lady department. I was always glad to help Drover along life's path of something. Moments later, Slim pulled up in front of Jim's tire service. I stood up and was in the middle of a... nice yawn and stretch when he slammed on the stupid brakes, throwing me against the cab. He stepped out and saw me, well, picking myself up, and he grinned.
Stand up, Pooch. We ain't in the country anymore, so don't embarrass me.
Very funny. He'd slammed on the brakes on purpose, knowing perfectly well that it would send us dogs flying around in the back. He did it all the time. It was another of his pathetic attempts at humor. It wasn't funny the first time, and it got unfunnier and unfunnier the more he did it. Oh, well. The tire shop was located in a big metal building. Slim got the flat tire out of the back of the pickup and rolled it inside. I hopped down and followed a few steps behind. Suddenly, my nose began picking up a strange odor. It was strong, and it smelled a lot like, well, rubber. Ah, yes, this was a tire shop, right? And tires are made of rubber, yes? So there we were. It was all fitting together. Several men were working inside, changing flats and making a lot of racket. One of them saw us and came toward us. Description: shorter than Slim and stocky in build, khaki pants and shirt, dark hair and eyes, and a nice smile. Oh, and his name was stitched on the front of his shirt. Miguel. He and Slim seemed to know each other. They shook hands and made small talk. The substance of their conversation, as I recall, was that the weather had been too hot and too dry, and that we needed a rain. I agreed with all of that. Slim pointed to his tire. I'm broke down, Miguel. Reckon you can fix me up?
No problem.
He took the tire and laid it up on a rack and started airing it up. Slim slouched against the wall and glanced around the building.
Where's that dog-eating cat of yours?
Miguel looked up and grinned.
Pico?
He's around. He hides and waits. When the dog comes close...
Miguel made claws and growled. Well, that got my attention. A dog-eating cat? I'd never heard of such a thing, and suddenly I found my eyes prowling the racks of tires at the rear of the... There he was. A big Siamese tomcat. He was perched on top of some tires, staring at me with weird blue eyes. Oh, and he was flicking the tip of his tail. Our gazes met. Through my eyes, I sent the cat a message. Pal, I don't know who you are or who you think you are, but the last kitty that tried to eat me spent some time in the hospital. The cat, Pico was his name, I suppose, received my eye message and... well, didn't show much response at all, to tell you the truth, which proved that he was just another dumb cat. If he'd had any sense at all, he would have left the building and found a place to hide. Remember my motto? Do unto others, but don't take trash off the cats. That goes double for cats who have wild fantasies about eating dogs. Dumb cat. I was in the midst of glaring my message at that fraud of a blue-eyed tomcat when Miguel's gaze drifted down to me.
That your dog?
Slim nodded. Sorta.
Me and the boss take turns with him. It's kind of like sharing a cold. One of us has him for a while and passes him on to the other.
Miguel chuckled.
He looks like a pretty good dog.
I guess he's as good as I deserve. He eats too much and he ain't too smart, but people say the same about me.
Miguel put his ear to the tire and listened for a hiss of air. He found the spot and pulled out a nail with a pair of pliers.
Can he burp?
Say what?
The dog. Can he burp?
A grin spread across Slim's mouth.
Well, I never thought about that, Miguel. I suppose he can, but I can't say as I've ever studied it real close.
I could make him burp right now, anytime, on command.
Slim hitched up his pants. He was still grinning. Now, wait a minute. You're saying you can tell him to burp and he'll burp? Miguel nodded.
I'm a dog trainer. You want to see?
Some of the other men had gathered around. One of them nodded and said,
Miguel can do it. He trains dogs, all kinds of dogs.
Slim pushed his hat to the back of his head and chewed on his lip. Well, this I've got to see. I don't think you can do it. Miguel reached for his wallet.
$5 says I can.
Uh-uh. I ain't a wealthy man like you, Miguel. Slim whipped out his wallet. But by grabs, I've got a $1 bill that says you can't.
You're covered.
Miguel laid a dollar bill on the cement floor, and Slim laid one right beside it.
What's the dog's name?
Oh, he's got many names, depending on how mad we are at him. But he goes by Hank most of the time.
I will teach Hank how to burp on command.
Miguel disappeared into the office. My gaze and Slim's met. Neither of us had any idea what was coming next. Oh, and that blue-eyed Siamese cat was watching. Miguel went into the office and came back with a bowl and a can of something. Soda pop? Yes, it was soda pop. He set the bowl down in front of me and poured the pop into it. Then he stood over me and pointed to the bowl.
That's for you, Hank. Soda pop, good stuff. Take a drink.
I looked up into his eyes and whacked my tail on the floor. He brought a soda pop just for me? Gee, what a nice guy. I mean, I'd always had a fondness for soda pop, especially on hot summer days, but on our ranch, I seldom got any. The cowboys are kind of stingy, don't you know, and, well, this was very touching. A fresh, cool soda pop just for me? I leaned forward and gave it a sniffing. It smelled cool and refreshing. Wonderful. My mouth began to water, and I found myself licking my chops. I rolled my eyes up to Miguel just to be sure this wasn't a trick. He nodded and pointed to the bowl.
For you, doggy.
Well, okay. I mean, if he was buying the drinks, I sure wasn't going to insult him by turning him down. I started laughing. It was even better and sweeter and refreshinger than I had supposed. Great stuff. I lapped it all down and even licked the bottom. In a flash, Miguel reached down, picked me up, and started... What was the deal here? He was shaking me. He shook me several times, pretty hard, and then set me back down on the cement floor.
Now, Hank,
he said, shooting a grin at Slim,
I command you to burp.
What?
Burp? Hey, I couldn't just... Go on, doggy, let's hear a big one.
Gee, I hated to disappoint him, but who can...
All at once, I felt a rumbling in my stomach, and something began moving up the stovepipe of my...
My ears leaked up. Was that me? The men who had gathered around us broke into laughter and applause. Miguel beamed a smile, clapped his hands together, and snatched the $2 bills off the floor. Slim leaned his head back and laughed out loud.
You cheated, Miguel, but that's okay. It was worth a buck.
Miguel leaned over and patted me on the head.
Good dog, Hank. You are very smart. Stay away from Pico.
Well, I hardly knew how to respond. I mean, we ranch dogs aren't used to so much kindness and attention, and heck, if Miguel wanted to bring me another soda pop, suddenly they were all gone.
Back to work fixing tires, clanging and banging and making hissing noises, and I found myself all alone. Oh, well. 1 minute a star, the next minute just another dog on the street. But it had been nice basking in the lime juice and enjoying my brief moments of, fame. They were making so much racket in there, it was hurting my ears, so I headed outside. And let me hasten to add that my leaving the shop had nothing to do with the so-called dog-eating cat. It had suddenly occurred to me that Drover needed another lecture on something or other. He could always use another lecture, It had nothing to do with the cat. A blue pickup pulled up in front of the shop. A man came inside, rolling a tire. We passed, and I had to get out of his way, otherwise he might have run over me with his tire. I hopped up into the back of Slim's pickup and saw Drover. What was he doing now? His eyes were wide open, and he seemed to be jerking his head toward... My eyes went to the back of the blue pickup, and I found myself staring right into the ugly face of... You'll never guess who it was. Bruno the Boxer? Nope. Rufus the Doberman Pinscher? Nope. Rambo the Great Dane? Wrong again. No, it was the face of a Wattrailer. And I happened to know the guy. His name was Bruiser. Are you shocked? I knew you would be. But the tip-off was the blue pickup, don't you see? I had identified it the very moment... Okay, maybe I'd missed that little clue, but the important thing was that Bruiser was sitting in a pickup not 10 feet away from us. And he looked mad. Real mad. He recognized me.
So it's you again.
All at once I felt myself, sinking and shrinking and slinking, shall we say, and wilting under the glare of that big ape. Yikes! Who could look into such terrible eyes? And all at once I began to regret all the, rude and tacky things I had... Drover, don't say a word. Not one word. We have entered into a situation here that could prove to be very dangerous.
Yeah, I know.
Bruiser's voice cut through the silence like a chainsaw.
Hey, you dummy. Come here.
I shot a glance at Drover. His teeth were chattering. I think he's speaking to you, Drover.
Oh, my gosh. I knew we'd see him again. I knew you shouldn't have... What if he comes over here? What do we do?
I kept my eyes from side to side. I had just noticed an important detail. Drover, do you see what I see? He's chained to the pickup. Look, see for yourself.
Well, I'll be darned. He is. Chained to the pickup.
Do you understand the meaning of this?
Well, let me think. It means that if we hide and keep quiet, he won't bust the chain and kill us.
I gave him a stern glare. No, that's not what it means. It means that he's helpless and harmless. It means that he's just another wimpy mutt who couldn't hurt a fly. It means that we can give him more of what he deserves for trying to kill our helpless baby deer. A goopy grin spread across Drover's mouth.
I'll be darned. I never would have thought of that. You mean?
Yes, exactly. I gave him a sly wink. Do you remember the routine?
The same one we used on Bruno the Boxer?
That's the one. I gave him a pat on the shoulder. You go first.
Well, are you sure? It's kind of a small chain.
Don't worry, Drover. No dog is strong enough to break a chain. Go for it. He hopped down to the ground and walked around to the side of Bruiser's pickup. He looked up into Bruiser's ugly face.
Oh, hi there. We were just wondering if you'd mind if we wet down your tires.
Bruiser's eyes widened.
Stay away from my tires, you little shrimp, or I'll wring your neck.
Drover swallowed hard.
Yeah, but you're on a chain and Hank says you can't break it.
Hank's brain can't keep up with his mouth.
Grover glanced at me and giggled.
Yeah, but I think we'll mark your tires and see what happens.
Grover took the left side and I took the right. We slapped a good strong mark on all four tires. Just as I had suspected, the cowardly Rottweiler growled and grumbled, but he didn't lunge against the chain. Even as dumb as he was, he knew he couldn't break it. We regrouped near the door on the driver's side. Nice work, Grover. I don't know as I've ever seen you do a better job of marking tires. He grinned and wiggled his stub tail.
Yeah, it was fun. You reckon we ought to give him a second coat?
He glanced up at Bruiser. So did I. What we saw shocked both of us.
See, you probably thought Bruiser would be near crazy with anger, right? Furious and ready to tear us apart? Well, he wasn't. What we saw were tears shining in the corners of his eyes. Honest, I'm not kidding.
Grover and I exchanged puzzled glances. This was not what we had expected. Then Bruiser spoke.
You guys are right. I'm just a big, ugly lunk. I'm a bad dog. I've always been a bad dog. And everybody hates me. But you know what, fellas? Inside this huge, ugly body, there's a little bitty Scottie Terrier who wants just one thing in the world.
He looked up at the sky.
A friend.
Again, Drover and I exchanged glances. I could see that Drover's lower lip was beginning to tremble. And heck, maybe mine was too. I mean, this was kind of touching. He went on.
You hate me. I know you do. And I'm glad you hate me. I deserve it. But...
He glanced away and bit his lower lip.
And there's the story. Nobody ever hears about old Bruiser. I was orphaned as a pup and raised by junkyard dogs. Every morning and every evening they beat me.
Grover's mouth was hanging open.
They beat you? Well, that's terrible.
Big tears slid down his big ugly face.
Yes, they beat me and made me mean. Over and over they said to me, they said, Bruiser, you're no good. You're just a rotten Rottweiler. And you know what, fellas? After a guy hears that over and over, day after day, he begins to...
He couldn't finish. He broke down and started crying, sobbing. I found myself looking at Drover. What have we done? Drover was beginning to cry.
I don't know, but I feel awful.
Yeah, me too. What a louse I've turned out to be. I told the poor guy that he walked like a fat duck.
Yeah, and you showed him your hiney.
Yes, and I regret that now.
I'm sorry I went on his tires, and I wish I could take it all back.
I know, but it's too late, Drover. It's water under the tire. Well, there's only one thing left to do.
What? Tell me. I'm ready to do anything.
Let's jump up into the back of his pickup and grant him his fondish wish. We'll become his friends. We'll convince him that he's not a rotten dog, that he's really a wonderful fellow. Grover was staring at me.
You mean... You know, I don't think that's such a great idea.
Hey, you said you were ready to do anything. If we surround this guy with warmth and friendship, Grover, it could change his whole life. What's more, it would make us feel better, knowing that we had befriended such a miserable wretch.
Yeah, but you know this old leg of mine. It's giving me fits, and I don't think I could make the jump.
Okay, fine. Have it your own way. You'll be sorry, of course.
I'll get all the credit for turning his life around, and you, Drover, you'll have to live with the fact that you marked the tires of a helpless, broken dog.
I only marked two of them.
Yes, two tires, Drover, and that was just enough to break his heart. I hope you're happy.
It works for me.
What?
I said I hope I can live with the guilt.
I marched around to the back of the pickup and prepared to begin my errand of mercy, salvaging what was left of poor Bruiser's life and self-esteem. I hardly noticed that Drover had scrambled under Slim's pickup, or that Pico was still watching. With a heavy heart, I hopped up into the back of Bruiser's pickup. The poor guy was curled up in a ball near the front, all alone, unwanted, abandoned, hated by everyone. I went to him and laid a paw on his shoulder. "I've come to help, Bruiser. Go on with your story." He raised up and through teary eyes he said,
"Gosh, you really want to hear it?"
"Yes, I think it's important that you tell it all to a friend."
You'd consider being my friend?"
I lifted my eyes toward heaven and nodded. "Yes. You see, those of us in the security business appear to be tough and hard. That's only because our job demands it. But peel off the outer layers of steel and iron, and you find dogs who really care."
"Oh, gosh."
"So let it all spill out. I'm here not to judge, but to listen."
"Well, okay."
He wiped a tear from his eye.
"Those mugs in the junkyard, they made me mean, see? And they told me I was rotten and nasty to the core."
"This is so sad."
"Yeah, but then one day I had this kind of revelation, you might say. And I looked back on my terrible, wasted life. And I realized they were right."
"Huh? What did you just say?"
"I said..."
He rose to his feet.
"They were right about me. I was rotten to the core, and that's just the way I wanted it."
He seemed to be... There was a strange light in his eyes, see, and...
Goop.
"Hey, wait a minute. You said that deep inside your inner being, you're actually a little Scottish terrier. That's exactly what you said. Honest, I heard it."
"One of the things that makes me so rotten, pal, is that I lie all the time. I love telling lies to saps like you who believe anything. And you know what else I love?"
Your fellow dogs?"
"Nah. I love getting revenge."
I began backing away. "Revenge? But you're chained up. Don't forget that."
"Watch this."
He took one step backward and lunged against the chain. It snapped. I stared at the two ends of the chain. I swallowed hard. All at once, my mouth seemed, very dry. Gack! Bruiser was loose, and I was standing in the back of his pickup. "Bruiser, let me speak frankly. I feel that I've been tricked and used." A jagged laugh erupted from his throat.
"Oh, yeah? Well, you ain't been used like you're fixin' to be used, 'cause I'm fixin' to use you for a mop."
"A mop? Now wait!" I began creeping backwards.
He crept towards me. I thought you wanted a friend.
Yeah, I lied. What would a guy like me do with a friend, huh? I'd just beat him up. That's me, pal. Rotten to the core.
But I thought... Wait, stop. I have one more thing to say. It's very important.
He gave me a smirk.
Yeah? What?
I turned my gaze to the sky and heaved a heavy sigh.
Bruiser, goodbye.
He had given me just enough time to get the heck out of there. I hit full turbos, went flying off the bed of the pickup, and set a speed course for the inside of Jim's tire shop.
Here he comes! Drover, get in!
Drover did nothing, of course. As I roared past Slim's pickup, I saw the little mutt quivering underneath with his paws over his eyes. It was a short glimpse because I was hauling the mail for safer ground. See, I had realized that this was no normal dog. He had a loose screw somewhere in his head, and he seemed pretty determined to, well, tear me to shreds. I, on the other hand, was just as determined not to be torn to shreds, and I had some hope that the guys inside might come to my rescue. I mean, Slim was a great pal of mine, and Miguel, remember Miguel? We were the best of buds, had shared many laughs and good times, and don't forget that I had burped for him only minutes before. I went flying into the shop with Bruiser right on my tail, snarling and slashing the air with his bear-trap jaws. The men heard us coming. They stopped their work and turned their eyes to the riot in progress. Joe McCall saw what was happening. He was sitting in a chair and leaped to his feet. Miguel grabbed a tire tool. Slim just stood there, too surprised to move. Joe made a dive for Bruiser.
Here, Bruiser. Easy, boy. Nice doggy.
He managed to grab a hind leg, but that dog was so big and strong, he broke away. Then Bruiser turned his eyes back to me and charged.
I ran to the far end of the shop, hoping.
The back door was shut. My eyes darted around the shop. There was only one way out. And Bruiser stood between me and the outside world. There I stood, frozen, petrified. Bruiser grinned and started toward me again.
Now, where were we?
We were... Listen, Bruiser, if you're talked about all those things I said about you, I think I can explain everything, honest.
Yeah? Give it a try.
Great. Okay, I said you were ugly, right? Not true. Not true at all. You're actually a very handsome guy.
I'm ugly.
I edged backward and bumped against the wall. Okay, you're ugly. We're straight on that one. I said you walk like a fat duck, remember? What a wild exaggeration. I don't know what came over me to make such a...
What about chasing fawns?
Chasing fawns?
Yeah. Is that right or wrong? See, yesterday you hurt my feelings. You made me feel bad for chasing a baby deer.
Yes, I suppose I did.
So take it back. Tell me it's okay if I want to chase a baby deer the next time I visit your ranch. Say it. And I'll let you walk out of here alive.
I took a big gulp of air. All at once, I wasn't scared anymore. Bruiser, you've just reminded me how much I disliked you the first time we met. I mean, when I saw you jump on that poor little deer, I felt nothing but disgust. And it's all coming back to me now. You're not only big and ugly and stupid, but you're disgusting. And you know what, Bruiser? I'm fixing to give you the whipping you've needed for a long time. A nasty laugh poured out of his throat.
You're crazy, Catdog.
He took a step backwards.
I'm twice as big as you are.
I raised the hair on my back and advanced. Yep, and that gives me twice the target and twice as much fun. Stand your ground, son. Here come the Marines. His eyes flicked from side to side. He took another step backwards.
I'll hurt you. I'll hurt you bad.
That's okay. The vet clinic's just down the road. Let's get it over with. He took another step backwards. Was he retreating or setting me up for something? I couldn't tell, and it didn't matter. I coiled my legs like steel springs and jumped into the middle of him. And then a great rolling darkness moved over me. And that was the last thing I remembered. You're probably wondering what happened. Did I manage to survive, or did that monster of a dog tear off my legs and ears and leave me for dead? Well, let's mush on and see. I awoke on the floor. I had no feeling in my legs or tail, and all the early indicators suggested that you'd better hold on to something. It appeared that my neck had been broken and that I would be paralyzed for life. Bruiser had threatened to wring my neck, remember? Well, the early reports from data control suggested that if he hadn't actually wrung my neck, he had come pretty close. I saw a circle of faces above me. I recognized Slim's right away. He looked pale and very concerned. And there was Joe. Remember Joe? A nice guy who kept a bad dog? Oh, and there was Miguel, my old burping partner. It was good to see him again, only he sure looked worried about something. Me, no doubt. Yes, I was in bad shape, very serious condition. Nobody needed to tell me I was critically wounded. I could see it in their faces. I hated being such a burden to them, and to show the depth of my concern, I whapped my tail on the cement floor, and that was odd. I mean, if a guy's paralyzed... Slim spoke. Boys, I don't see a single mark on him. You don't reckon he just fainted, do you? Fainted? Huh! What kind of crazy talk was that? It was perfectly clear what had happened. I had gone into combat against one of the biggest, meanest, heartlessest Rottweiler dogs in the whole Texas panhandle. And though I had fought a brave fight, Bruiser had inflicted enormous, implacable damage upon my body. No, I had not fainted. I just happened to have a broken neck, and maybe we should start thinking about rushing me to the vet clinic, huh? Would that be too much trouble? At that very moment, Grover came padding up. He looked down at me and grinned. Since I couldn't move my head, not with all the shattered and splintered neck bones, I rolled my eyes around so that I could see him. What are you grinning about? Oh, that was quite a fight. Never saw anything like it. Pretty bad, I guess. Did I land any punches? Nope, not a one. I was afraid of that. Well, I did my best, Drover, and now you'll have to carry on without me. Now, just when the fight was about to start, this big blue-eyed tomcat came out of nowhere and jumped on top of Bruiser's head. Boy, what a show. Old Bruiser ran like a striped ape and jumped up in the back of Joe's pickup. Remember? He's scared of cats.
Huh?
I rose to my feet and stuck my nose in the runt's face. Hey, don't tell me there wasn't a fight. I was there, pal. I was in the middle of it. It was one of the most ferocious combat experiences of my entire... I blinked my eyes and looked around. The men were all smiling, and all at once they... well, were clapping their hands, applauding. And I suddenly realized... what we had here was a sudden reversal, you might say. And although I had been badly wounded in combat... the bones in my neck had miraculously... okay, maybe I'd fainted, but who wouldn't have fainted? What matters is that I won, and Miguel's cat had nothing to do with it. So it all worked out pretty well. The last I saw of Bruiser He was sitting in the back of Joe's pickup, sniffling about his unhappy childhood and promising to be a good dog for the rest of his life. Pretty neat, huh? Against incredible odds, I had wrapped up the case of the raging Rottweiler and had even helped Bruiser find his true cream puff self. Things had turned out so well, I even removed the 6 chicken marks from Drover's record. Just another day in the life of a cow dog. Case closed. Okay, maybe the cat helped a little bit, but not much. So don't be spreading lies about how I was... Skip it.